Chapter 4. My first shot zinged over the ape's head. Not because my aim was off, but because it wasn't. The thing was fast, really fast. Almost as fast as me, I hated to admit. My second shot hit it, in the pack of muscles in its shoulder, and bounced off like a toothpick hitting off a wall of stone. You see, there's a difference between the three types of arrows I use. Non-magic arrows for hunting, mithril ones that can shoot through almost anything, and enchanted ones with special abilities. I didn't need a magic one 99 times out of 100, but I needed one right now.
Drat!
And the third shot, a magic arrow from my quiver, well, that wasn't going to happen. The ape was too close, too quick, and just a few yards from rushing into me. I hooked my bow Akron over my shoulders. The dwarf in armor Brenwar made me had a design for that. I braced myself for impact, reaching down to wrap my hand around the hilt of my sword, Fang.
Too late, dragon!
Brenwar jumped from the reeds and slammed his war hammer into the ape's chest, drawing forth a howl of anger. Brenwar was a couple hundred pounds of solid brawn facing 800 pounds of raw muscle. The ape snatched Brenwar from the waters of the stream, hoisted him over his head, and hurled him like a log that disappeared into the woods. Brenwar would never live that down if we lived to tell about it, and I wasn't ready to die without recounting it one last time. I ripped Fang from his scabbard and thrust at the ape's belly. It jumped over top of me, landed in the stream, and kicked me in the back with its feet. I slammed into a boulder, and Fang almost slipped from my grip. I held on as I fought to regain the wind that was knocked out of me. Whatever that thing was, it was strong, fast, a real monster. Not as big as many I've faced, but still bigger than me. It came at me again, face full of fury, its black eyes intelligent and cunning. A real killer. I chopped. It twisted. I stabbed. It jumped. I cut. It ducked. I pressed the attack. It howled as I clipped its arm. It shuffled backward, spread its wings, and flew away, disappearing into the night. Eyes skyward, I stood, alone, basking in the light of my sword's glow, looking skyward. Where did that thing go? I whirled around as Brenwar burst forth from the brush, brandishing his hammer.
Where is that thing? Nobody, not nothing, not anything throws a dwarf without permission, especially when you're not a dwarf.
I think I scared it away, I said, sheathing my sword. My leg was aching more now than ever and started to bleed again.
What was that, Brenwar? Any idea at all?
The once quiet forest was alive and well now. The night owls hooted, and the pixies were singing. Of course, the pixies often disguised themselves as crickets and such. It was really hard to tell the difference.
I don't know what it was, Brenwar said. It's not any part of the lore that I know, and the dwarfs are well schooled on all the creatures and monsters of this world.
He stormed up the stream.
But whatever it is, I'm gonna see that it doesn't throw a dwarf anymore. Not ever. I'll have its head, I will.
I unhooked Akron and loaded a magic arrow. I wasn't gonna take any chances. Whatever that thing was, well, I'm certain it would have torn me apart without Fang's help. And don't get me wrong, I've been in plenty of fights without my sword. This thing was different, and its eyes left an uncomfortable impression on me. And that was dangerous. That worried me. Ahead, Brenwar had started a new path out of the water and along the tree line. It seemed he didn't want to take any more chances being out in the open. As for me, I remained in the middle of the water, bow with arrow, scanning the skyline, behind and below. If that thing was up there, I still wanted it to see me. The fight in me wasn't finished just yet. as my senses and instincts were challenged. It was one of those things that my father had instructed me to work on. He said I needed self-control, and I'm sure he was right. But I needed to test myself, too. I wanted to be ready for anything, and I always felt like I was. The moon had risen over the treetops now and shined over the water. The heavy spots of cloud spotted the sky like dull gray orbs that absorbed the moonlight. My magic arrow tip twinkled like a sliver of mercy. So bright and shiny it was. The arrows could penetrate just about anything, as the tips were of a dwarven-made metal called mithril. Brenwar had made the arrows for me himself, and his people had blessed them with accuracy and strength. No winged ape was going to dodge one of these. No, it better not come back. But I hoped it would. I wanted to know what that thing was.
Brenwar,
I said,
do you want to camp? It's getting late.
I suppose,
he replied.
But I'm not making a fire. I'll not have that black fiend sneak up on me at night.
I couldn't agree more. There was no need for a fire on such a warm night, and for the most part we made fire to roast the critters that we hunted. We had other things packed up to eat of the dwarven assortment. Stripes of dried beef and a round disc of blessed bread that would fill your belly for hours. It didn't make for the tastiest of meals, and you had to wash it down with a lot of water. But it would get you through the day. I wasn't hungry at the moment anyway. Besides, there was nothing like fishing in the morning, and the smell of fish meat roasting over an open fire. And this stream was full of trout bigger than my feet. I could feel them swimming by as I waded in the waters.
You should rest that wounded leg,
Brenwar suggested. I nodded and gave in. The next morning I woke up after a restless sleep that left me feeling empty and edgy. As a dragon, I have to admit that we like our sleep, even though dragons don't require it. I did, however, because I was still more man than dragon. But that night my dreams were filled with darkness. The winged ape was there, the shadow in the background. There was a graveyard as well, and dragons, many dragons. Some living, and many dead.
You were restless,
Brenmar said, as he roasted a large trout I'd caught earlier. Brenmar didn't sleep much. He slept and guarded somehow, a dwarven art I never had much interest in. It was one of the advantages to having him around like this. And it probably was another good explanation as to why dwarfs could be so cranky. They didn't sleep much. But they did sleep. Just not for very long. Or unless it was after one of their harvest festivals when they'd eat, drink, and be merry for weeks on end, and sleep for days. Even weeks after that.
No, I didn't sleep well at all,
I said, tightening the bandage on my leg.
But the rest isn't bothering me. That black creature is. I want to know what that thing was, Brenwar. It was dangerous.
He tossed me a hunk of cooked fish meat and said,
we're rescuing dragons, not hunting monsters. I don't think that creature is a threat to us. I just think we surprised it, is all. It's someone else's problem now. Eat. I'm ready to go.
You just don't want it to toss you around again.
That's enough, dragon. I'm in no mood for your humor, and you better not be telling anyone about that,
Brenwar warned.
I've got plenty of tales I can tell about you, but I don't.
I smiled.
Fair enough, friend. Consider the incident stricken from my lips forever, but not forgotten.
We filled our bellies with fish and broke camp. My irritation subsided, and my stiff leg began to loosen as the bright sun of the new day warmed my face. It seemed to lift that cloud of darkness within.
So where do you think these dragons are that we're going after? What have you heard?
There's always poachers in the hills, hiding something or another. I just figured we'd go and poke our noses around. It's well known that these hills hide many things, both good and evil.
Bryn Mawr's answer was pretty vague, but the dwarfs didn't often get into details. Unless you were talking about building, mining, or blacksmithing. Then they became a waterfall of information, and I must admit I didn't really want a lengthy explanation either, but I needed some kind of guidance. After an hour more of hiking, we'd abandoned the stream and resumed our climb up the loose foothills. Tiny bits of shale had found their way into my boots and were digging into my toes, but I trudged along behind Bryn Mawr. He was sure-footed and steady, not likely to be slowed by anything. Still, it bothered me that he hadn't said much about where we were going. In the dragon business, I came across information in the cities and villages. People talked. People talked a lot. And even the best-kept secrets were never a secret. Just something spoken of less than more. But at the mere mention of dragons, if someone knew something, in most cases, their eyes lit up. Sometimes it took patience, other times charm, bribes or a stern convincing. But it often gave me another direction to go on. Once I found the right path, I could figure out the rest of the clues from there. We crested another hilltop, miles now above the stream, the 100-foot-high evergreen trees swaying in the wind. I tied my mane of red-brown hair behind my head and took a drink from my canteen. So far as I could tell, we were in the middle of nowhere, just some forest, leagues away from civilization. And I had a feeling that Bryn Mawr wanted it that way. I was certain he was keeping me out of trouble by keeping me from the cities. It hurt to think about it, actually. I miss the cities. But my dragon arm caused me to stick out like a sore thumb. I had a way to cover it up if I had to, but what would all those fawning women think? A man with a dragon arm? As much as I loved it, I was insecure about it. I didn't want people to think it was a cursed thing. Bryn Mawr headed down the hilltop and started towards another. The forest, unlike most, didn't have all the signs of life of the others. Other than the trees, the rocky ground didn't leave roots for the small plants that fed the critters and buck. That made the hunting more scarce and made the hills seem more dangerous. It was a natural place, but grim and foreboding with the black ground against the green. I woke up from the dullness of the journey when I heard the sound of an axe chopping into wood. I couldn't imagine why anyone would be cutting down trees this deep in the forest. But stranger things happened in Nalzambor, I figured, as Bryn Mawr and I treaded down the hill to investigate. I couldn't see a person, but the chopping sounds remained steady. On silent feet, I closed in, only to discover the echoes had drifted farther down the hill. I motioned for Bryn Mawr. I was going to lead this time. The chopping stopped. I didn't hear, smell, or see anything out of the ordinary, but as the wind drifted into my nose, I smelled something out of the ordinary in the forest. Bryn Mawr had a look of concern on his face as I began to back out of the clearing. Too late! A net rose beneath our feet, jerking us from the ground and binding us like fish more than a dozen feet over the ground. We were trapped!